Norman Bell. The little crook never came in except on the first of the month, Norman had noticed. Not an early morning person. He always looked as if he'd been up all night. This morning he looked especially tense, even though he'd evidently come out ahead on his horses. What could his world be like? Up all night partying? Hanging out with the other hoods in some pool hall or after-hours bar? He was so macho, maybe he was gay. There were still clubs, Norman knew, though he hadn't been into one in 8 years, not since the federal law got pushed through. It was being tested for constitutionality in a dozen states, but not Florida, which had its own sodomy laws. Norman was not the crusader type, anyhow, and the clubs were for young people, alas. He'd feel like an old pervert. They'd had a raid on one in downtown Southeast a couple of weeks ago. Norman had studied the coverage to see whether there was anyone he knew, and in fact there had been, but not among the men and boys arrested. One of the cops, Kabil Rabin, the one he'd been with when Rory found out, though of course she hadn't been surprised. Kabil was a strange and beautiful man, just a year or two out of the army when they'd met. He'd been an enemy POW, captured in Desert Wind. But the army found out he'd been pressed into the Iraqi force against his will, going along with it just to protect his family in Kurdistan. When they were liberated, Kabil wound up in the American army, a three-way interpreter. He came to the UF for political science, police department scholarship, but he minored in music, and Norman met him in a cross-cultural composition workshop. One thing led to another. They'd been together for over a year when Rory came home unexpectedly and found them in the kitchen, of all places. Norman had seen him now and then over the years, and they exchanged careful signals of recognition. He had a wife and at least 2 children now, and a uniform that probably restricted his sex life. He hoped things were going well with him. There had been something like love between them, despite the differences in age and culture. Thinking of him brought an interesting melody back to mind, a Middle Eastern thing in a Phrygian mode. He jotted down a pattern of notes on the back page of the mystery he was reading, trying not to read whodunit, and went up to pay Nick. Nick poured a plastic bowl of soup for Rory and sealed the top. Things quieting down over there? Not lately, anyhow. There's a news special tonight, a 1 month update. All the network's crazy. Yeah, like a war ain't enough news for him. Not as long as we're not in it. Greece was, now. Nick said something in Greek. Grace a god, he explained. You say hi to the professor for me. Sure thing. Norman carried the soup out and secured it in his front basket, which had an adjustable holder for such things, and pedaled off. He went a few blocks out of his way to avoid traffic. Rory wouldn't be in the office till late anyhow. He passed Rabin's house without looking over at it. Rory's car was in its spot at 8:01. Norman locked his bike in the rack by 3 spots that had permanent press signs. He was not quite old enough for that to make him think of trousers. There was nobody in the office. He put the soup container in the fridge with a note, Albondigas, no avgolemano today, and hurried back to his bike. He wasn't avoiding Rory, but he wanted to get home and work on his Phrygian theme. While he pedaled, he searched his memory for a source besides the Middle East folk tune. Once he'd spent almost a week on a composition, and when he played it for Rory, she pointed out that it was a jingle from a beer commercial. Home, he splashed some cold water on his face while the coffee reheated. Then he sat with the cello and played the theme in E and G, and then settled on D. He snapped on the Roland and keyboarded it, and worked out a preliminary pattern of chords and discords. Then he set it to repeat, and played the cello along with it a few times. He turned off the machine and improvised for most of an hour, the coffee growing cold again while he was lost in thought. He put the coffee back in to reheat again, and with 2 fingers sketched out the elaborated theme, looking back and forth between the screen and the keyboard. He could MIDI it in straight from the cello, but knew from experience that it saved time to go through the Roland, since a note's duration was recorded more precisely, and you didn't have to clean up harmonics.